Hello and welcome to the Astrology Oddcast with me, Francesca Oddi. This episode is going to cover 2 weeks because I'm traveling next week and also it's summer holiday vibe. I think I'm gonna try this. So we'll still be a new podcast next Wednesday. It will be an interview as opposed to this, but I will be covering 2 weeks today. Quick reminder that if you are interested in learning more about the sort of things that I talk about in the podcast, then you can join Learn to Read Your Birth Chart online. Or, sorry, I've been distracted by the dead flies. You know how when I do the podcast, I always talk about the animals I can see. I just clocked that, you know, I'm in the Maldives right now. This is like bug central. It's incredible. Like 7-year-old me would not believe that I am living amongst such wildlife. It's really, you know, this is an island that's just for guests and staff. There's no in and out traffic. You either live here or you're on holiday here, that's it. And the rest is just loud, vibrant nature, like this nature. The sea is so full of sharks and stingrays and fish, crabs, like, it's just alarmingly alive here, the hedge and the bats and the bugs. And I'm living in this kind of like eco house that's got solar panels on the lid roof, and it's all wooden and beautiful, but, you know, it's kind of very in keeping with nature, kind of not a tree, a very plush tree house, extremely plush tree house. You know, it's basically a house made of wood. And the insects come in, and every day there's a spider like as big as my hand. And I look up at him and I'm like, you need to leave. Okay. Like, I'm not going to like hoover you up or anything, but I would really appreciate it if you would leave. And then he leaves. And then there's geckos and all sorts of things. Anyway, I've just seen two dead like moths. And what does that mean? I've been Googling the meaning of everything. I saw a snake. I was cycling through the place, through the trees, the mangroves, and we were talking about mangroves, and then suddenly we were cycling past a snake. I was like, oh my God. And then I'm like, snakes are quite powerful. They're a good thing to see a snake, powerful protection. Anyway, interesting synchronicity that we are looking at change. We are looking at change, death, transformation. Death is the ultimate change. It is taking us from one thing to another. And this August has been really, really interesting. Fascinating, in fact. And do you know what? Here, the motto is no shoes, no news. So you don't wear shoes, which means you burn the fuck off your feet when you're walking across the jetty. The bottom of my feet are like peeling. Let's just say peeling. I wear flip-flops a lot of the time, but sometimes you're going across the jetty, like, you know what? I think Tony Robbins should be here for this. It's a bit much. But yes, here we are. And where was I? I was telling you about Learn to Read Your Birth Chart, I think. And so if you want to learn to interpret the astrology, because like I'm saying, August has been very interesting. Now, I'm not seeing the news. I go on Instagram, hopefully less than I go at home, I hope. I'm trying to amp it up, actually, this last week, and, you know, make the most of the scenery here and share a few pictures. It's always hard to understand what people want to see, and I think there's definitely a mix. You can never please everybody, because some people follow me just for astrology information and don't want to know about what I'm doing, but some people are like, just show me pictures. So it's always interesting to understand, because, you know, I've said this in my newsletter, sometimes sharing, if I'm predominantly sharing information and someone has subscribed for horoscopes, if I start talking about something else, they're just like, lady, I'm not here for this, bye, which is fair enough. And so it's just getting clear on that, you know, and that's what retrogrades are for, getting clear. Anyway, use code LISTENER. Listener gives you 25% off Learn to Predict and Learn to Read Your Birth Chart. If it doesn't work, email support@francescaoddi.com and Heidi will sort it. Okay, so let's crack on. There's so much to say because I'm doing 2 weeks, and in those 2 weeks, we have Mercury stationing retrograde tomorrow. Today is the 22nd of August. So So Mercury stations retrograde on the 23rd. Uranus stations retrograde on the 28th. Jupiter stations retrograde on the 4th. And Venus stations direct on the 3rd. So that's four planetary changes in the next 2 weeks, plus the final quarter moon in Sag, which I'm quite excited about because mainly because it aspects my chart. Main reason. And it's on a Thursday. So Jupiter rules Sagittarius. And Jupiter is kind of a Sag day. It's the Thursday's child has far to go because it's ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter rules Sag, and Sag is about long distance travel, which fits with Sagittarius quarter moon happening on a Thursday. And you look back to the new moon from November last year, 2022, and have a read. So what I wrote in cycles, actually, I just had this up, is da da da. Retrograde Venus is square to Jupiter, who rules the Sag moon. Too much optimism or not enough? We've been presented with an insight into where our beliefs have not aligned with reality. As the Sag moon squares both Sun and Saturn, who are on a very serious standoff, we have the potential to leapfrog challenges with faith. So much faith. Grounded beliefs or ungrounded beliefs? How strong is your will to make whatever it is happen? This is a big test. Will you meet it? So to explain, at the moment, well, the sun's nearly in Virgo. Does that happen today or tomorrow? Tomorrow. So the sun enters Virgo on the 23rd, and Saturn is in very early Pisces. Pisces and Virgo are opposites. And so we already have the sun opposition Saturn, which is very exciting here for people looking through the telescope at Saturn, because he's the furthest away from the sun, which means he's, and he's also the closest to Earth than he's been for a while, which makes him very bright. So everybody can look through the telescope and see his rings if there's a clear night. But we have, you know, Saturn is already the shadow of the sun. The sun is your identity. And Saturn, I believe Saturn is your deep, deep, deep identity. It's who you are in your bones, because Saturn rules bones and skin and structure. So while your sun might be your heart, and your heart has a very creative vibration, your heart is this, you know, the big brain, it's the second brain. So the sun is a high vibrational, the sun is the sun. It's the giver of all life. Without the sun, we wouldn't have the plants we eat, or, you know, we wouldn't have nature, we wouldn't have anything. The sun is our energy force. Everything comes from the sun, and the sun rules our heart. The sun rules Leo. So the sun is your identity, your creative vitality. Anything you want to create, anything you do with love, it all comes from your heart. So your identity, your passion, your vitality, your character, your vocation, it's a calling from your heart. So the sun is your heart. And that's why your sun sign is so important in astrology. Yes, the moon sign is important. Yes, your Venus sign is important. I stand, you know, all the parts of your chart are important, but the sun is the biggest and brightest and most important thing in the sky, which is why sun sign horoscopes work, which is why people like horoscopes, because we do identify with our sun sign. And women do equally now, like, 100 years ago, perhaps not so much. A woman was her moon and her husband or her father was her sun. You do still see that. And it's very interesting working in this part of the world and seeing how and what people identify with astrologically. Saturn is what's in your bones. Saturn is your DNA. It's your ancestry. Saturn is the structure of society that you grew up within. Saturn is your father. Saturn is your fear. Saturn is your weakness. Saturn is the thing that you've not been able to do because you felt blocked or scared. You've wanted to shine like the sun with your Saturn placement, but you've not been able to. It's been challenging. It's been difficult. You were impeded in some way. It has taken, you've had to strive to overcome your Saturn. And you can work with it, 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 and you'll always be working with it. And where we work, we become masterful. And Saturn is where we have mastery, but only if you have strived to obtain mastery. You have to work. You have to try. You have to do something to overcome and to step in to that energy. And that's why I like Saturn, because at the end of the day, if you are working towards something and if you're confronting your pain and your difficulty face on, you will identify with that part of your chart because you'll be very familiar with it. And I can see someone's Saturn sign as clearly as their sun. I can see that it is part of who they are, their life's work, their vocation, particularly when they're older. When you're younger, I mean, to be honest, I can still see it. But I think we find it easier as we get older. And so we've got the sun and Saturn opposed at the minute. At the minute, the sun's at the end of Leo and Saturn's at early Pisces. So if it were dates, you know, today's the 22nd of August and Saturn would be somewhere along the lines of the 27th of February, something like that. So we're looking at 6 months apart on a calendar, or if you imagine the year as a wheel, you can see that they're opposite. And Saturn is challenging the sun. It's like the sun's just shining, but Saturn's saying, passing on some of his message, which is basically, you're not good enough, try harder, you're a deer shit. You know, he's Saturn squashes. That's why Saturn transits are challenging. That's why the Saturn return is challenging. And I've got podcasts on this, the Saturn return, if you want to listen to it. And I've got my masterclass on my website about Saturn as well, if you want to listen to it. But that Saturn masterclass is big. I really went into that. And you will, we are feeling that in the collective because the moon, the first quarter moon, is going to be square to the sun, 90 degrees away from the sun and Saturn. They're opposites, yeah? And let's say the moon will be at, let's say, November the 28th. So we've got a T. And if you were looking at the year as a circle, like I've just said, we've got the 22nd of August today, but the first quarter moon is on Thursday, the 24th. So we've got opposition with the moon. And it's in Sagittarius, which takes a leap of faith. It's ruled by Jupiter. It's on Jupiter's day. And Jupiter and Saturn, Jupiter's where things come easy to us, where we are blessed, where we're fortunate, and where we have belief. Belief will take you places that something never will. I can't think of the quote. You can quote that up. Quote me on Instagram. Belief will take you, courage will take you places that whatever never will. Either way, belief will take you places. Saturn's like work, and you might get to the top. Jupiter's it's a little bit nepotistic. Jupiter's got the godfather who just gets him a job, and like the peasants just working, trying to get the top, and then some fucker with a strong Jupiter comes in and takes the job. And Jupiter's also the belief that you can. So many people believe they can't. And that's a big, big discussion. And that's also part of Saturn. How strong a grip does Saturn? Because your Saturn is the lack of belief, yeah? It's lack of faith. You just got to work. Don't get ahead of yourself. And in this part of the world, Saturn has a strong grip. The culture has a strong grip, particularly about not having an ego and being very humble and putting others first. And there's a lot to be said for that, maybe karmically. That, you know, in the structure of society, I mean, bigger debate than what I'm saying, than what this podcast is about, but still really, really interesting to see the grip Saturn has on a situation. But you can also jump it. There's always going to be someone who jumps the fence. There's going to be people who don't get tickets to the event, and there's going to be people who sweet talk them way in Jupiter. And with this moon forming the T square to the sun and Saturn, it's like the question as well, because Saturn is squaring the moon. Saturn's like, are you a bit ahead of yourself? Or are your beliefs very grounded? Because Saturn's the ground, the earth, you know? So are you having grounded beliefs or are you very ungrounded? I don't know. But whatever happens on Thursday, we're kind of going to learn about that. Mercury is retrograde. And I've made a reel about that on Instagram. I've made a couple, and I might make some more depending on how busy I am and how inspired I feel. But to say it here, Mercury retrograde is in Virgo. And I'm really interested, particularly again, in this part of the world, to see how well people do service. I'm living in a 5-star resort. And I'm living amongst the staff, and I'm learning about, you know, a lot of the training and a lot of the communication is about service and how to work and how to deal with clients, guests, And I've done a lot of this sort of work. When I worked in ski resorts, it was the same. And when I did the tour guiding, it was the same. I'm a SAG. I work in travel. I've worked in travel and tourism a lot. And I really enjoy understanding and learning and seeing about how to serve and what is it to serve Virgo? What is it to, because you know, when you find staff in the UK, you know, so sometimes I get friendly with places I go and eat and drink. And when the staff become over friendly, I mean, this might sound bad, but I'm saying it anyway, because there's a difference between being friends with someone and then also just forgetting that you're at work. Do you know what I mean? And that's a lesson for me as well. People, and like I started at the beginning of the podcast, I'm here to serve. I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm not an influencer, but yet it somehow I am. Somehow I'm like an astrology influencer. People might say it. People have said it to me, like, "Oh, is that what you are?" But first and foremost, I want to be an astrologer, but also part of the experience of getting to know me and how I work. And, you know, you add it in, but it's how it's delivered. This is something I'm pondering at the minute, particularly with Mercury retrograde in Virgo, I see people unfollow. If I start talking about myself, when I post pictures, my sister's 30th a few years ago, I posted a picture of me and my sister. I got so many unfollows. People don't give a shit. They don't want to know. Some people don't know. But yet, maybe they're just not my customers. Maybe they're just not actually that interested in knowing me, working with me, learning with me. And so they're gone. So maybe it's a good thing. And this applies to you, of course. I'm just musing on the astrology and how I'm experiencing it, how I experience it, and how I'm experiencing it personally at the moment. So yeah, Virgo is really interesting to serve. And I love doing astrology readings. I've always said I would pay to do my job. The first time people paid me for readings in 2016, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this is amazing. This is mad. This is mad. Because, you know, for the first few years, just finding someone who's interested is difficult. Because a lot of the world think astrology is nonsense. They do. They're ridicule, and they're like, oh, it's not very scientific, and they're rude. They were rude, you know. You just get confronted with people saying it's all bullshit. How gullible are your customers? And then to have got to a point where I'm here and I've got people who want to learn with me and do events with me and invite me to speak. It's mad. I mean, it's nice to take a moment actually in Leo season and to appreciate it, and also being here in this environment where I'm not with my captive audience, really. For a start, most of the guests don't speak English. So that's been interesting. But still, I mean, the experience is so good. And I've been reading for the staff, the team, the hosts. Sorry, they're not called staff here, they're called hosts. And that's been amazing. I've absolutely loved it. I'm loving not being on Zoom. I'm loving being barefoot, sitting somewhere really beautiful, drinking tea and reading people's charts, and the trust. I love how people trust me, and I know that I can be trusted, because I know that I'm really secretive. I've always been secretive, and it's nice that my secretive has a purpose. It's my secretiveness, my Saturn in Scorpio. You know, I'm a Scorpio. I'm secretive. It's that. I divulge enough, and I appear open because I'm Sag rising Gemini, but deep down I'm not at all. So I like that. People feel they can trust me, and I find it really interesting. And, you know, if I went traveling, if I wanted to come to the Maldives, what would I do? You know, how could I spend 3 weeks in the Maldives? What am I going to do? Go swimming, read a book? Like, kind of try and chat to people. I love, and maybe this is my Saturn in the sixth, I love being part of a team and getting to know people and like eating with people and being invited to the staff meetings. And because that's the experience, really, when you travel, particularly as a Sag, you're going for the experience. You're going to experience something. And I'm getting the experience, and I'm able to be part of it. Same with skiing. Like, you know, I love going on a ski holiday, but I don't think I'll ever top the time I worked in ski resorts, because it was just so much more fun to be part of it. But that's also my sixth. That's also the bit of me that loves community, that I am I like that, you know, you get when you're part of the team, then everyone introduces you to people who own the bars and to this and that, and because you're part of that brand, they're familiar with you, and you become part of something much faster, which suits my personality. Might not suit everyone, but I really like it. I really like seeing how things work. I really love understanding new businesses, because this is a whole new industry for me. Really, as an astrologer, I've done my retreats and I do everything like this, podcast, whatever, and see clients. But to be part an astrologer abroad, this is new and it's like great. So there you go. And that's some of the retrospective of Venus, because Venus is still retrograde and I have Venus in Capricorn natally. When you're learning to predict, if you are interested, you can learn to predict with me. It's online. Go for it. Get involved. It's great. I'm on another course at the minute and it's slow, man. Slow. It's really slow. People are slow. And I appreciate that I do teach fast. My target audience are people who understand things fast, quickly, quick learners. And maybe further down the line, I will do slower things, slower courses. But maybe I don't need to. Maybe I'll just, my niche will always be people who just kind of get things and want to explain fast and don't want to go over the baby steps for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Because that's really who I was. I used to sit in astrology school, like chomping at the bit. No one had done the reading. No one knew what was going on. They were asking the same questions week in, week out. And I was just gagging to be an astrologer. Gagging. I was learning when Saturn was in Sag. So Saturn was slowing down the experience. And in a way, it was good because I was just read and I read and I read and I read and I read because I was so impatient. Just like, give me the information. Speed this thing up. But it helped me really solidify my identity as an astrologer, Saturn on my sun, because I had to work. I just read because I had to fill myself with information because the courses were slow. I was drove me insane. So, you know, learn to read your birth chart in a week is there for people who just like want the answers now. And of course, you only become good over time. That's Saturn. Saturn rules time. Because you have to do chart after chart after chart after chart after chart. And you have to read and you have to read and you have to read and you have to read. But to get the nuts and bolts, to understand the concept clearly and simply, if you want that, that's what I'm good at doing. And so, where are we? We're still at that quarter moon in Sag, are we? We've not got far. So Venus retrograde, yeah. Venus, I have Venus in Capricorn. And therefore, Venus always, to me, my Venus is in Capricorn. So even though Venus is retrograde in Leo, I understand Venus through the lens with it, through which I see her. And I see her through a Capricorn lens. So work. And she's conjunct my MC, my career line. So with Venus retrograde in Leo, I'm having this retrograde Leo. It's very fun. It's very hot. I'm very lucky with the weather. It's monsoon season. It's rained. It rained the day I got here. And then last Thursday, it rained for like 10 minutes. That's it. What a monsoon season. It's like freaky. It's like in the, you know, in Europe, or the weather's weird everywhere. Venus retrograde weather and Saturn in Pisces weather. That's interesting, isn't it? Saturn in Pisces, the Western world is, well, the UK is getting rain, Pisces. And here they're not. Saturn, lack of rain, Pisces, water. So, yes, Venus will always, the retrograde will always be, yes, which house it's in for you, as I've done in previous horoscopes, I think. But also, how do you understand Venus? And at the moment, today, she's square to Jupiter. Venus is at 15 Leo and Jupiter's at 15 Taurus. And so are you overdoing it? Actually, that question, the theme was fed into what I said about the first quarter moon in Sag, was like, are you overdoing it or are you not doing it enough? Do you have enough faith, Jupiter, square, Venus, or do you not have enough? Do you have enough, too much? Are you overdoing it? Are you underdoing it? Are people spending their money to be cool or not? You know, I think it's a bit of an overspending vibe because Venus and Jupiter are both about the good life. And, you know, some people want to appear a certain way. This medical facial aesthetics thing, I mean, it's not my generation, is it? I'm in my late 30s. I think it's a young, hip, cool thing to be doing, to be like, plumping your face up and stuff. And I guess it's just very uncool of me to not be into it. But I think it's very retrograde. I look at people, and in some cases I understand, like, personal preference, blah blah, do what you want. I just think it's a retrograde move because it's unhealthy. I don't understand ever how putting toxins inside of yourself ever makes sense. And you've been given something. You've been given who you are, and we look like our astrology, and we are what we are. And I just think it's healthier to have a confidence in who you are without being manipulated by trends. I don't like trends. I don't like the power of the media. I don't like it. But yeah, of course, we all fall into it. Of course, I'm still there with my stupid hat from when I went to Tulum. I love it. I love my hat. But it's a bit like fashion victim, isn't it? But where does it end? Where does it end? And I think that's a question. And with money and status, like cars and watches and midlife crises, there's a subtle line of people who the energy behind it. Also, like with what you say and what you do, it's always about the energy and intention behind it. Are you doing it because you love it, or are you doing it to say something to someone? It's like having a really hot photo of yourself and you're on holiday and you just post it. Like maybe you're on honeymoon, or maybe you're just having a great time with your friends, and you just share it because it's a happy memory and there's no emotional charge behind it. You just like putting your shit on Instagram and you're like, hey everyone, and it's all very neutral, it's all very cool because you're just in quite a sane place, or your post breakup. I saw a meme like about how po the post breakup Instagram should be an anthropological study, because you have your breakup, so you don't eat for a week because you're miserable. You start You cut your hair, you get some new outfits, you start anxiously taking photos to put online to piss your ex off. There's a big difference there, isn't there? And we can all see it, which is, I guess, why we're all into social media, because you can see, oh, they're having a nice time, next. And that might trigger something in you. It might trigger your envy, maybe, maybe not. But then you can see the person who's having a breakdown. Or a breakthrough. But even, I've been there. And when you're in that phase, you know that, but you don't care because you're like, I'm looking good. I look better than I did a month ago, and he's gonna miss me. So look, you all have to witness this now. You all have to watch my Instagram. And it's always the chat, like, what are we doing it for? What are you buying the nice car for? Because you love it? Or because you've got a wounded inner child who needs to prove that he's made some money, etc. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's some of what the Venus retrograde debate is about. It's also obviously about love and relationships and what you value and who you're with. But it's more than that. It's really more about how you value yourself and the esteem you have within yourself, and where your value lies. And what you can offer. Okay, next. I'm aware that I've been talking for a while and I want to do 2 months, 2 weeks, excuse me. So let's crack on. I've done the first quarter moon actually. And then we have Mars trine Pluto also on Thursday. I've really enjoyed this grand trine of Uranus and Taurus, Mars in Virgo, Pluto in Capricorn. I think it's been transformational. And for me personally, anyway, it's quite exciting. But how have you found it? How are you getting on with the? What I mean by the grand trine is when three planets in Earth signs are all cooperating. So the energy of change, motivation, transformation has been quite strong the past week, and it's very strong today. And the moon is also in Virgo as I speak. So tomorrow the moon feeds into it as well. We'll have moon conjunct Mars trine. In Virgo, both aspecting Pluto and Uranus. So lift yourself up, break yourself out, organize things, rethink things, plan things. It's practical, it's energized, it's motivated, We do have Neptune opposing Mars. When is that? That must be like today. It is today. It is today. So Neptune's at the end of Pisces, and Mars is now approaching the end of Virgo. So that it's actually quite cloudy today. And Neptune is the fog and the slowness and the sleepiness, and but also quite inspired, I think, because it's going to form a kite. So you've already got, you've got the triangle, basically, yeah? There's a grand trine of three Earth signs of Uranus and Taurus, which would be about the 13th of May. We've got Mars at about the 15th of September, and we've got Pluto at about the 17th of January. So imagine the triangle. We've then got Neptune at about the 16th of March. So that would form a kite if you were to draw it in a, if you were to put a wheel of the year and draw a circle. And the kite, the planet is Neptune. So this is a really a day to meditate and tune in. And it's interesting that I've decided to do this long podcast today. And I do feel kind of quite into it and quite visual. Neptune is visual. It's psychic visions and dreams and alcohol and maybe being quite distorted, but also quite inspired and full of ideas. It's creativity, music, dancing, expression that's nonverbal. And I felt actually like saying that to somebody yesterday, because, you know, fire signs, we can be quite desirous. How do you say it? Desirous of saying it. I just need to say this. But only 10% of communication is verbal. Not replying is also a response. You know, sometimes, well, they don't say anything. They just ghosted me. Well, they expressed something in that. They didn't express nothing. They expressed something. And also in behaviors. So is looking out for that today, but the podcast will go out tomorrow. It's a bit late. Sorry about that. But the moon will be with Neptune tomorrow. The moon will be with Neptune on Wednesday, opposing. So we still have this dreamy, mystical, inspired vibe going on. Mercury station's retrograde, very much about where you're of service and how reorganizing, obviously, is Virgo. Just come on, sort your plans out, double check everything, your tickets, your passport details, your passport expiry date, your insurance documents, your back up your computer, back up your phone. Make sure you have got a nice case on your phone and that you're not walking around London Bridge without a nice lanyard to have around your neck, which I would advise. I should have had that before. It's very helpful. But also, what are you eating? Are you going to change that? You're going to change some habits, your investments. I put some horoscopes on Instagram, and I'll put them in the newsletter when I email it out. Please make sure you're subscribed if you're not. Okay. Moon in Sag, fun. Here for it. On Friday, the moon will be in Sag. Venus will be in Leo, which is fun, I think. You know, fire to fire. If you're an Aries, that's very nice of you. 15 degrees Aries. Have a lovely time on Friday. Wish you all the best. Saturday, the moon enters Capricorn, amplifying this earthy vibe again. It was quick, wasn't it? Do you know why it was quick? Because the moon's in Scorpio, not in Virgo. Let's see how. So scrap what I just said. Don't, Heidi, don't delete it, because there's no point. That's just a good example of Neptune deleting my brain and Mercury coming for retrograde. The moon will be sextile Neptune, so not trine on Wednesday. So there is still a Neptunian vibe. A sextile is still helpful, but it's not as confused as the opposition would be. And with the moon in Scorpio to right now, as I speak, I don't know how I miss that. I've forgot all my glasses. But I'm not blind. I just made a mistake. Interesting. Interesting. I have to put a disclaimer in at the beginning of the pod. So, yeah, the moon in Scorpio now dredging the depths. It's not as gloomy as it's been because the South Node has left Scorpio. So for the past year and a half, every time the moon was in Scorpio, we were really like into the dark. Whereas now that's when the moon's in Libra. Okay, so the moon then enters Capricorn on the 26th. And on the 26th, which is Saturday, we also have Mars, I presume, at 29 degrees of Virgo. And you know how I feel about 29 degrees. I'm not a huge fan. Or at least I believe it to be potent. Pluto's at 28. So the Mars-Pluto is on Thursday. A very, very, very powerful day. Very powerful day Thursday for initiating your dreams, for initiating projects, for like putting stuff out there. I would imagine just an upsurge in wanting to get stuff done, but I would also look out for overwhelm. It could be just always watch expectations when Jupiter's involved. And what am I saying? So Moon in Capricorn, trying the Sun on the 26th, but Mars in Virgo, very intense. I would expect Saturday to really then be like, how am I serving? So it'd be quite challenging, actually. Quite challenging. It's quite maybe anxious. And as well, because Mercury is retrograde in Virgo, and Virgo is a worrier. Virgo, you need to stop worrying. It's not achieving anything. It doesn't achieve anything. You think you can control everything by worrying? Anybody who's worrying, got to learn to let go. Saturn's in Pisces, and the Saturn in Pisces lesson, part of it, is let go and let God. Trust the bigger picture, because micromanaging doesn't work. You know, you might think it works to a certain extent. It's good that you always have the right medicines, the right this, the right that. It's handy. I understand that you like having all your stuff, but at the end of the day, the sun cream's toxic, and there's only so much you can control. Yes, wash your hands, Virgo. You know, do everything right, but also live within nature. I'm not watching the news, because here it's no news, no shoes vibes. But I'm seeing like kind of COVID-y chat on Instagram, which is just preposterous. But, you know, people are still into it. You know, mutations are always happen, which is why the whole thing was a fallacy, because mutations always happen. And therefore, there's no point waiting for a vaccine, because it didn't work, because the virus mutates faster than the vaccine. And that was always going to be the case, because that's always been the case. But somehow people, you know, we're still in some kind of confusion there. So with Mars at 29 degrees of Virgo, it could be challenging that. I think a lot more people are curious, I guess, about health and how much we play in that. Like, eat some ginger and look at, you know, looking after yourself. We're looking at the split between the genius of modern medicine, Virgo, and the power of healing, meditation and thought and energy, and the power of your heart and heart math, Pisces. We're looking at both. And with Mars at 29 degrees Virgo on Saturday, there could be the Virgo energy of we can control everything with our meticulous organization and whatever power is up for question. So just watch that in yourself, observe, learn from it. Everything is medicine. Mercury's retrograde. What are you learning about the way you interact with the world? Okay, and then the moon stays in Capricorn. Mars enters Libra on Sunday, zero Libra, world point. Again, very interesting, activating that world point. There was an eclipse at zero Aries this year. So Mars is activating that eclipse degree by opposition. And that's very interesting. Probably what I just said about world health crisis, people could be talking about these things for whatever reason. Some kind of public health news. And beyond that, and beyond any public health news, I'd be looking at your own relationships again. Venus is retrograde. Mars is now in Libra, Venus's sign, the sign of relationship, the sign of the other. How are you interacting? How are you building relationships? Are there any challenges there? Mars is spicing things up. How diplomatic are you being? How much are you giving to your partner? Particularly Pisces, because you've got Mercury retrograde in your seventh house. And there's been maybe some learning there about boundaries. Are you giving too much? Everybody, are you giving too much? You're not giving enough? Big questions to be had. And also, are you in the right relationship? And what are you there for? Who knows? I mean, it's all written in the stars. It's all written in your cards. It's all there. It is there. Some of us have more karmic lessons to learn than others. But yeah, that's some challenges. And I would also then use the Mars in Libra energy to be more diplomatic, to be more refined, to look better, to be more polite, to brush your hair, to look after your appearance, to respect others through having a respect for yourself. On Monday, Uranus stations retrograde. That's always spicy. That's always spicy. It's kind of interesting. We've got Mars changing signs and Uranus stationing retrograde same day. We'll have the moon trine Uranus on Sunday. So that's quite nice. I think that, again, that does lend itself to supporting the moon's in an earth sign whilst Uranus changes direction in an earth sign. But, Mars on the world axis and Uranus changing direction, there is some kind of out the blue, spontaneous wake up nature event, or maybe people starting to see that not everything is as it appears, because the full moon is 2 days later. So I would connect that. I would connect this full moon in Pisces with Uranus stationing retrograde, because that's a very slow station. It's a very powerful one. And we had Uranus stationing direct and a full moon in January the 10th, 11th, 12th, 2020. So the first pandemic vibes in China was January 2020. And it coincided with Uranus stationing and a full moon. It was an eclipse, but still it was a full moon. And so here we are again with Uranus changing direction and a full moon. And the full moon, I'm going to read what I wrote, because I think it's kind of aligned, part of it. A full moon conjunct Saturn in Pisces. It's a full moon in Pisces, okay? Confused Pisces, mystical Pisces. And it's on the 30th of August. And so, you know, we're at the full opposition, early degrees of, I said earlier, didn't I, that Saturn will be about 20, did I say the 26th or 28th of February? And therefore, if the full moon's on the 30th of August, you can see that that is an opposition, I hope. If you've drawn a circle of the sky while you're listening to the podcast, I hope that you can see that. A full moon conjunct Saturn in Pisces presents us with choices in a confusing version of reality. Pisces brings fog. And as Mercury approaches Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, the Virgo sun is being drawn into the realm of perception, where very little is factual. The nebulous Pisces moon is sitting with Saturn, who is struggling to keep it real. We must balance our head and heart. What are you really feeling? The Two of Swords suggests there's no obvious answer, and we're in the midst of the ultimate opposition between the rational and perceptual minds. Virgo seeks to organize through facts, and Pisces dives into intuition. We may find ourselves asking, what's real? The things we know to be true, or the things we simply believe to be true. Pisces rules the ineffable, the magical and the mysterious. When the full moon aligns with Saturn, we're being faced with our doubts about the validity of the mystical and maybe a few other things. There's so much we don't understand. And as the collective experiences confusion, so do you. This is a time to go inwards and align with a mystical reverence. Trust your gut, research, face facts, but also take time to consider what the facts cannot know. What you know to be right, what is plausible and possible, but not obvious. There is no clear-cut answer. Whatever we are facing now is not a simple yes or no. This is a decision, experience or insight that explores new territory. Mercury is supported by Jupiter and Uranus. So Mercury, the planet of communication, is supported by Jupiter, the expander, and Uranus, the shake up. And we're encouraged to think outside the box, to explore all avenues and to take a leap of faith. Pisces calls us to all that's beyond the veil, even if it's scary in the unknown. Saturn in Pisces is teaching the collective about spirituality, healing, divine intervention, lies, deception, drugs, dreams, signs, mystical signs, music, meditation, and rest. The collective's been dialed into the rational and has avoided eternal truths. As so many of us are faced with a new level of profound insights and synchronicity hunting, how are our relationships being impacted? What are you learning about yourself as the paradigm shifts? And what are you doing to keep your spiritual self aligned, balanced, and energetically healthy? The decision about what needs to go and what needs to happen is yours to make. And on one level, you already know what to do. Feel into a wise future you and teach yourself to focus on a reality that is expansive and loving. Saturn can make us fearful. Saturn does make us fearful. And these fears can make us withdrawn, critical, and I would say isolated. Future you understands why skepticism and critical thinking was healthy because it protected you, but future you is ready to deal with whatever comes and embraces a loving future. Now, I don't normally read out everything that I've written in cycles because I want to respect the people who bought it. And you can still buy it on Amazon. I write it every year. But I wanted to say all that because I like that obviously cycles is printed and I wrote that last year. And I feel that message is strong because if we are entering another situation of obfuscation, basically using facts to bullshit people. I think with Saturn in Pisces, it's about like the rational brain because we have to think because things stop making sense. But if the media are saying, you know, if the consensus is something, people tend to trust it. And a lot of what the consensus expresses is bollocks, you know. And that's another really great thing about living in this part of the world where a lot of the bollocks that the Western UK media deliver just isn't here. It's just not present. It's not present partly because we don't listen to the news here, but partly because these, you know, I'm one of very few Westerners here. And a lot of the culture that we are living amongst in the UK and in the West, I presume, in Europe, just doesn't exist. It's just not here. They don't know. It's just not here. And it's great. It's great. I think we're a bit over the top. And I want to travel more. Yeah, I'm enjoying being in the East. I'm enjoying it a lot. And I'm like, okay, I want to see more of this. I also really enjoy being working within it alongside it as opposed to being a tourist because you get a very different view. It's nice. It's very nice to be. I think that's like the Sag, Sun, Taurus, Moon. In me, I like bedding in to the culture and getting to know it. Okay, moving on. So Uranus normally wakes things up and that's on the 28th. And the moon will also be in Aquarius, Uranus's sign. Digital nonsense, digital progressions, digital breakthroughs, truth. It's coming powering through, but we've definitely been challenged because Pisces isn't clear. Pisces is the opposite of clear. Pisces is an emotional response, you know? And it can be brilliant. It can be the best. Pisces are so intuitive. But it also, if fear has kicked in and the imagination is in overdrive, then, you know, we're kind of gone. We're off-piste very quickly. So then on Tuesday, the 29th, the moon stays in Aquarius, building, opposing Venus on the 29th, square to Jupiter on the 29th, square to Uranus. I don't like that. That's my final day here. Not sure how I feel about that. Crypto, Crypto, big question mark. Any of these fixed days? I've not looked. I don't think Bitcoin's doing well. I don't think Bitcoin doesn't seem to love Venus retrograde. crypto doesn't love Venus retrograde, but things, currencies, markets always change when Mercury stations. So Mercury stationing tomorrow, so things might turn around. But freedom, out of the box, very, very interesting day with a lot of planets at 15 degrees of the fixed on the 29th, which is also interesting for me because I have Mars at 15 of the fixed. So that's been picked up. Time will tell. Wednesday's the full moon, which is exciting. Time for release. I'm going to try and do an event, probably predominantly for the Cosmic Club, but I'm flying and it's all a bit carnage. I guess I could do an event on Friday. I'll be in Nottingham. I can do an event on the Friday, but it'll be early because I'm going to be jet lagged and I want to keep, you know, when you've been in the East, you want to keep your jet lag because you get up at 5 and you feel like a boss. So I'll try and keep my jet lag for as long as possible, so I won't be doing evening events. Nah, not happening. But yeah, I'm going to sort that out because I think this is a very visual, explorative full moon, and I will do it after. Also, you know, I'm with all the Indian yogis here who are like, you don't do stuff at the full moon, you don't do stuff at the new moon, which I've always felt, you know, that's why I wrote Cycles, because I wanted this to be together, but I don't ever really want us to be online at these points. But yet sometimes it did, and you know, you guys feel that too, because I did an Instagram poll and everybody was like, yeah, you know, it's a case by case analysis. But with this Pisces one, no way, no way, no way. Go and be in nature. If you want to go online, you can. You know, I'll put some stuff there in the Cosmic Club and this podcast is here, but I wouldn't want us to talk about it until after because it's so sensitive. Go and feel, go and just turn your phone off. Get out of here. So yeah, and I've kind of discussed the themes as well. I should do some horoscopes at the end of the pod. For the full moon, what we got, I'm not going to do all the moons. So the moon stays in Pisces on the 31st. It moves to Aries on the 1st, where it opposes Mars. Pretty spicy start to Mars. I mean, September. It's called September Mars, as you do. Pretty spicy start to September, I'd say. New month, bish, bash, bosh. You've had your full moon. You've had your emotions. You've cleared things out. Now, what are you going to do with this new month? It's a new numerology, you're in a new personal month, you've got a new personal day, it's the first of the month, it's fresh energy, it's back to school energy, August is over, Venus retrograde is coming to an end, Uranus is retrograde, Mercury is retrograde, you're rethinking things, you want to get organized, Mercury's in Virgo, you want to get organized, and the Sun's in Virgo, you want to get organized, but you can't quite because we've got so many retrogrades, but it's definitely like, woo, you know, let's do this. Energy's still high, moon's still full, things have come to a close, one chapter has closed, and you're feeling like, okay. I think August was such an initiation. August has been such medicine and an eye-opener for so many people with like confronting themselves. You know, this is really new chapter, big September energy, new pencil case, new homework diary, best of intentions for the year ahead. Not going to leave your homework to Sunday night anymore. You know, that's the energy to September. So we will tap into that. I think I will try and do an event, even if I just pre-record something for the club, but it will be Friday lunchtime, Friday the 1st lunchtime. Okay, Saturday the 2nd. Moon's in Aries, a lot of fire, quite nice. Moon conjunct Chiron, not so nice, but moon trine Venus, very nice. And also for the Sagittarians around the 5th of December, that's quite nice because you'll be grand trining. So anybody with planets on or around mid Sag, you're going to be feeding into the moon trine Venus, which is very nice. Sunday, Venus stations at last, Doc. I'm going to be at Fern Cotton's Festival in Tatton Park in Cheshire. If you're going to be there, come and say hi. I'm doing a talk at the end of the day. I'm going to try and get a flight immediately after the talk. If anybody wants to put me on the back of a motorbike and take me to the airport on a Sunday evening, I'd be very grateful. If anybody can tell me how to get from Tatton Park to Manchester Airport. It's only a 20-minute drive, but I just have to not get stuck in traffic. I really just need to do that. If not, I'm flying the next day because the last flight's at 7. I have a when will I be going? The moon will be in Taurus. Moon will be in Taurus. Maybe I won't fly until the Taurus moon on the 4th, because I flew to the Maldives at the Taurus moon on the 8th, and here I am again, flying again on the 4th of September Taurus moon. Seems that we'll be doing because my lunar return every month is conjunct Uranus for the rest for a while now. So it's all kind of, random. So Venus stations. So whenever a planet stations, the themes are chucked up into the air. And Venus and Jupiter are still widely square, I imagine. I'm not actually looking right now, but I guess Venus will be at something like, I guess Venus will be at something like 13. Let's look, where's she gone? 12. Venus will be at 12 and Jupiter's at 15. So they're still square. Because that's only 3 degrees off. So they're 87 degrees apart as opposed to 90. So you still count that. And Venus retrograde as Jupiter stations direct. So those two, an abundance of pleasure. I mean, it really does speak to trying to fit too much in, the overspending, the overcompensating that I alluded to earlier with the Venus Jupiter square. There's just something about, is it, are you being authentically doing what you love, or are you doing what people think you should be doing? Are you getting married because you think it's the right thing to do? A lot of people were married under Venus retrograde. What the fuck? How? How with so much social media do people still do this? But do you know what? Maybe it's a uniting of souls who have been together in many past lives. Maybe it's just what it's supposed to be. And that's why not knowing about astrology is maybe sometimes a good thing. Maybe you can know too much. I certainly think that sometimes. Anyway, there you go. So we've got a fair few planets retrograde now. If I look at the third, Venus is still retrograde in the morning, and Mercury and Uranus and Saturn and Pluto and Neptune and Chiron. I don't really care that much about the retrogrades. What I care about is when is the planet changing direction. And I don't. They're not high drama, that it's just news and media, that it's not that much of a big deal. But changing direction is very exciting. Big event. You have an opening party, you have a leaving party, you have a welcoming party. Changing direction, that kind of vibe. So on Sunday and Monday, because we got these two, the two planets, the two benefics, the two joyful planets challenging each other in a square. So too much of a good thing. There's a kind of sleazy vibe to it. It's a bit sleazy because Venus is love and attraction, and Jupiter's just like Casanova, because Jupiter is squaring, it's challenging Venus. It's just some kind of hot, sleazy person. And they're everywhere. Do you go what's good for you, or do you go with what's really attractive? Same applies to what I was saying about beauty standards. Do you go with what's good for you, or do you go what's considered attractive? And what are we attracted to, and why? Boring question, but still, I'm asking it. The moon will also be challenged by Pluto on the third. So you're digging deep into your soul. But yeah, so it's sleazy. What else is it? It's overspending. There's just something a little bit false, I think, about Venus retrograde square Jupiter retrograde. It's a little bit synthetic. This is the Barbie summer, huh? Just a little bit. A little bit getting carried away with yourself. Hedonism. Hedonism. Big time hedonism. But also big time opulence and just enjoying it. It really is about the intention and the experience with which you interact with the energy. Do you know what I mean? Are you just going to go like me here with the free chocolates? I'm in this amazing resort and they've got this So Guilty. The room is called So Guilty. And it's the ice cream room. It's called So Guilty. I mean, that's a good clue. And you just go in and you help yourself. And they got all the ice cream. And they got this like chocolate room as well. That's like a chocolate shop. And you just go and help yourself. But you know what? After a certain point, it's amazing. You don't want it anymore. The people who worked in chocolate factories always say that, you know, after a week, they just, I've read somewhere as well, someone who's like, you know, just do what you want for a week. Be lawless. Have no bedtime. Do what you want. Within 3 days, people are going to self-correct and give themselves some Saturn, give themselves some Virgo, give themselves some routine. And so actually, it's quite interesting to sometimes, that's why people say, oh, you know what, you just need a big blowout. So maybe weekend of the 3rd and 4th September, you do just need a big blowout. And you wake up hungover and think, well, I'm not doing that again, you know, because it does work. The last time I got smashed was March, because and I woke up the next day hungover being like, I don't do this anymore. And I don't do this for a reason, because I couldn't move for a whole day. And I used to, you know, my 20s, that was normal to be so hungover that I was destroyed. I don't have time for that. I want to do astrology. I want to go to yoga. I want to feel good. I don't have the, you know, I might get drunk again one day. I've not had a single drink here. And I can, it's free. Last night there was a cocktail night. They had these passion fruit cocktails. I don't want any. I want the chocolate. Know your vice. But yes, you know, so, but sometimes we need to do it. And maybe I will do it before I leave. I plan. I actually intend on getting drunk before I leave, I have to say. Because why not? Because I'm going to have a party before I go with everyone. Because you do get to know people another light when you cut loose. I am also very much enjoying living in a Muslim country, because drinking isn't the prevailing pastime. Although apparently it's just this resort. In other resorts, everyone gets smashed. But I do enjoy, I do like that in the evenings you just go and drink water or like have a chat. And a lot of people here don't drink. The Maldivians can't, they're not allowed. But I like that because I don't like drinking. I'm always not drinking. You know, I never have one beer. I'll have 10 vodkas. Anyway, no one cares. I'm here to serve you. You don't care about my drinking habits. But I am here to say, I'm telling you stories so that you get it. So that you get the Venus square Jupiter. Overspending. I would watch it. I would definitely not buy anything that weekend. 3rd, 4th. That is... No. You know, but is somebody going to have I'd be so interested to see who gets engaged, who gets married, who buys a house that weekend. Very interesting. And also, not to put heap negativity on that. I'd be very curious to see, because it's a very big energetic karmic movement that day. So I'd be very curious about it. You know, genuinely curious. I don't know. I don't fully know. Okie dokie, okie dokie. Oh, still a Monday. Man alive. Lovely. I love Monday. I think I might end up flying on Monday. Moon trine Jupiter. Moon trine Sun. Moon trine Mercury. Moon conjunct Jupiter. Beautiful. I love that. I think I'm going to fly on the 4th. But we'll see. I'll probably have too much luggage. The 5th. And for you, it's just lovely. I don't know if it's an inset day. I don't know if everyone goes back to school on the 4th, but it's just very constructive, innovative, interesting. Catch up on your, maybe it's doing all your homework. It could be like, if you've left all your homework and you're going back to school, I doubt you're listening to this podcast. But if you're a parent of someone who is in that situation, it's great. It's a great day. You get all the stuff done. If you've not bought your kids' shoes for school, you're just going to get it all done on this Monday. It's all going to flow. And you might even get something in the sale if you set the intention, but watch out for overdoing it because of Jupiter. But yeah, you might feel very luxe. You might feel like treating yourself, but you know what? It's a great way to start off September. Just watch it with curiosity. I'm very interested to see how that Monday goes. Tuesday, same again. Very nice. And then the moon moves to Gemini in the afternoon where it squares Saturn. Mm-mm. Bit chatty, but time to get back to work. Not as pleasurable as Monday, I would say. Wednesday is the final quarter in Gemini. What did I say about that then? Let's read that out. And then, because I'll probably make the new pod next time. As this inquisitive moon closes its cycle, We remember the oh yes. We remember the solar eclipse in Gemini from June 2021. The 10th of June 2021. And encourage ourselves to explore how far we've come. What powerful initiation shifted the ground beneath our feet, and how are the learnings from that cycle being released? Mercury's retrograde. Mercury is also retrograde at that eclipse, I think. The weather is amazing. The weather we had in 2021 summer, we had a beautiful period of heat for the 3 weeks of Mercury retrograde, which was June 2021. And it's square to this lunation. Oh, yeah, just as it was at the eclipse. I wrote that. It is most certainly a day to look back, refine, reconsider, redefine how we want to experience our emotional world as we confront the fables we told ourselves. I am fascinated by this. I remember this distinctly. I remember it distinctly. I went away with all my school friends. Well, I watched the eclipse. It was visible from the UK, which means this is really powerful for anybody who passed under the eclipse. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't totality in the UK, but it was a good 25%. So I mean, I'll have to check. You can check. Go online, Google eclipse path, June 2021, and it will show you which part of the world was eclipsed. Because if you were under it, you have the medicine more. We made a homeopathic remedy of the eclipse, and I took it that night, and I fell asleep about seven, six or seven, because it was Neptune. Neptune was involved. Neptune was square the eclipse, and presumably it's going to be square this final quarter moon as well, not as tightly, but still. And it just put me into a sleep, absolute reset. So yeah, look back to June 2021. It was the football was on. England played on the whatever date, the Sunday. It was Euro 2020 or the World Cup. What was it? Euro. Okay, ramming now. This has been long, but thanks for bearing with. I really enjoyed doing 2 weeks, actually. It might be more feasible given that I am going traveling for the next 2 months that I do these like this bi-weekly. Also, it just, it's the effort of doing it. Because a lot of the effort of making the pod is just sitting down and getting on with it. Once I'm going, I may as well carry on. Okay, let's just do some scopes. I mean, there's so many things I could scope because, I could look at the full moon, I could look at this, I could look at that. What am I most interested? I mean, there's so many things I'm interested in, but I'll go with the full moon. But I would be very curious to keep an eye on that final quarter in Gemini. Very curious. 11/11 on the 22nd of August. Nice. 2/2/1/1/1/1. Here for it. Ready? Here's your full moon scopes. Aries, this full moon is in your 12th. Your ruler is in Libra, in your seventh house. So if we put that together, I would say that you're releasing subconscious beliefs about how you need to relate. Do you need to see everything? Do you need to say everything? Like I said this in the podcast earlier, is it necessary? Not all communication needs to be said violently with that Aries flair. Mars in Libra is about diplomacy, and also I think feeling into the subconscious instead of being very literal and direct. So the full moon is going to show you, perhaps, look for synchronicities. It's we've got a lot of you've got a lot of stuff. You've got now got three planets in your 12th house, including Saturn and Neptune. Look to the synchronicities. Look for them. Listen to your dreams. You don't need everything to be so explicit, I would think. Taurus, this full moon is in your 11th, and your ruler is still retrograde in your fourth. So there's some questions about home and family and relationships and what you've been doing there, whatever misdemeanors or overspending or overcompensating or underselling yourself or whatever it is, whatever you've done to affect your home life, the weird, maybe you've done some rogue DIY. Really, go and have a nice time with your friends. Hang out with a group, connect with some people, feel connected, because maybe whatever's going on at home is a bit hard and you just need some time with your mates. You need a blowout, like I spoke about for September. Potentially. Gemini, this full moon is in your 10th with your ruler retrograde in the 4th. So you too have stuff going on at home and family, you're reconsidering. And with the full moon in your 10th, this is your status. What are you putting out into the world? What are you giving too much? Do you have boundaries? Are you doing some media? I mean, I'd be thinking about putting something out there. It could catch, you know, with the full moon in your 10th, the spotlight is on you and your career. So how are you being seen? But maybe you're not being visible enough because Saturn is in Pisces too, and you've been holding yourself back. And also there's been too much connection to your past. Maybe you need to untangle something from your past. Cancer, this full moon is in your 9th. The ruler of your chart is the moon. And so you're looking at your holidays, your trips, your higher education. Maybe it's your back to school vibe. What are you learning? What do you want to learn? How does that make you feel connected? How interesting that Cancer, the planet that rules home, has Pisces on their ninth house cusp. So that means that for Cancer, Pisces is about, is where they find meaning. They find meaning through being very spiritual, which is why I guess Cancer is such a psychic sign. It's about trusting your intuition to take you further. You don't necessarily need to go afar. It's about how can you go beyond the normal? How can you trust your gut? Really, maternal instinct, you know? It's the mamas who say, fuck you to the state. It's that cancer is a sign of the mother. And when they trust themselves more than they trust someone telling them what to do. It's about that maternal instinct. It's interesting. Leo is ruled by the sun, and the sun is in the 2nd and the moon is in the 8th. So this is about finance, actually, and your value, your self-esteem, and how you are able to release some of your investments. And how do you feel connected, bonded to people? Are you having an affair? Have you been having an affair? Are you tempted? Who are you having an affair with? How are you connected? How loving? How much are you showing up? How bonded? How deeply bonded and committed are you to your partner? But also look at your investments. Look at your money. Look at your business partnerships, any contracts, anything that keeps you bonded. Just look into it. Look into it, and maybe some of that is coming to an end. Maybe, you know, you're buying a house and you've got to just reassess something potentially. Virgo, this is in your 7th, but your chart ruler is Mercury, and Mercury's in your 1st retrograde. So yeah, relationship reconsideration, debating, also just having a lovely, lovely, lovely celebratory time with your partner and spending some time putting your feet up. Mercury's retrograde, it's time to chill. And that, you know, this applies to everybody. This full moon could just be the big blowout that I'm talking about. This for the weekend coming up, and it's just time to relax and just have a big blowout before you get organized in September. Yeah, any conversations that need to be had, anything you've been sitting on, it will come up. Libra, this is in your 6th. Venus is your chart ruler, she's still retrograde, and she's in the 11th house of your friends. So if you've been working too hard, or if you've been socializing too hard, one or the other, then that will show up. And this is a great time for you to let your habits go, put all your stresses down. Also, come on, like maybe eat all the crap and then vow not to do it again. It's part of the big blowout. But also your spiritual work, your intuition, Libra, because Pisces rules your 6th house. So somehow that's why Libras are creative, because Libra has Pisces, the artist, on their 6th house. That's why I think Libra and Pisces have that in common. You know, the politeness, they're both signs of duality. Libra is the scales, fish. The fish is the symbol for the fish, two fish swimming in different directions. Pisces and Libra both understand duality and this and that and here and there. And they both like art and refinement, and they both are very considerate of other people's feelings. So how are you using that on the day-to-day, Pisces, Libra? How are you bringing that empathy and kindness into your work, and also the intuition? And maybe weaving that into your pals I'd be, you know, I'd be assessing with Venus station in retrograde in your 11th, like, what's that been for you? What's that been like with your groups and your friendships? What have you learned over the past few weeks, 40 days? Scorpio, this full moon is in your fifth house of fun, children, creativity. Pluto and Mars are your chart rulers. I'm going to go with Pluto. It's in your third house of communication. Have you expressed yourself authentically? How are you expressing yourself? And can you cut loose? Cut loose, baby. Go and have a big party. Have a lovely time with your children. Maybe you've got a brilliant idea and you want to put your book out into the world. Maybe it's time to show people your creative side. But Pisces, this makes sense because Scorpios always love surfing, I've noticed. And the fifth house, Pisces rules their fifth, and the fifth is what you do for fun. You're like, what brings you joy? And water always brings Scorpios joy. They love surfing. That's why Pisces is on their fifth. So go surfing, Scorpio rising. Sag, Pisces rules your home life, which is why I guess you feel at home anywhere. Spiritually, this is my spiritual home everywhere. Sagittarius girlies be like, hi, I live here now. And Jupiter is stationing in your sixth house of work. So yeah, where's your work going to take you? Where's your work taking you? Celebrate it. Enjoy it. Enjoy your travels. Enjoy being back at home. Enjoy wherever your home is. Enjoy your family. And maybe if there has been any issues going on with your family, they're going to come up. Capricorn, full moon in your third house of communication. And yeah, I guess Pisces on Capricorn's third house makes Capricorn shy. And so with the full moon in your third and Saturn also in your third, how are you expressing yourself? Non-verbally, I would imagine. If ever anyone, you know, any sign understands that all communication isn't verbal, if the Aries is battering down the Capricorn, then the Capricorn is just going to just feel it, feel what they're trying to say, give them space. And maybe at this full moon, Capricorn, you say what needs to be said at last, whether it's to who the person it needs to be said to, or whether it's a friend, you're going to talk about it. Get it off your chest. You need to get it off your chest. Aquarius, it's in your second house of money. And your ruler is Uranus and it's stationing retrograde in your fourth house of home and family. So how are you releasing whatever, your self-esteem, your cash? Have you tied your self-esteem to what you earn? And maybe that's quite nebulous. Pisces on your second. Do you feel good about yourself? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe it's fleeting. Maybe you never really know who you are or what you are. Pisces on your second. You don't know what you value. It's always moving. And I guess that's what makes you so open-minded, having Pisces on the second. You are able to connect with everyone and anyone and take them on face value and how they make you feel, actually. You're feeling, even though you are not at all watery, despite being called Aquarius. So with Uranus in your fourth, there is an element of your home, your family, some thunderbolt that you didn't see coming to the family situation, and maybe something exciting. Maybe you're moving house. Maybe you are jazzing up your home. Maybe you're working from home online and that's getting exciting. But I don't know. But with the full moon in your second, there's something about money and self-esteem coming to the top of the party. Let's see. Let's go back a day. Pisces, this is your full moon. It's in your first house. Your ruler at Neptune is also in Pisces at the moment. And so, yes, you're in the spotlight. Put yourself in the spotlight, whatever it is. I know you're shy and I know it's not always easy, but you're very creative and everybody loves to hear from you. So it's time to launch, announce, celebrate, just get out there, relax a bit. Maybe you can be prone to worrying too. Mercury retrograde is in your seventh house. Maybe you've had some anxiety about your partnerships, or you too perhaps need to have some conversations with your partner. You know, the focus might be on them and you feel your needs aren't being met, you're overgiving, you're not giving enough, you're being evasive, whatever it is, that could come up. But other than that, just enjoy yourself, kick back, do Pisces things, meditate, paint, connect, whatever it is. Okay, this was an extra long astrology podcast. Thank you for listening. I imagine some of you will listen in bits, you know, listen a bit one week, listen a bit the next week. As I said, Learn to Read Your Birth Chart and Learn to Predict are available to nab with code LISTENER and various other things on my website. I'll be writing newsletters. Make sure you're subscribed because I get more ideas about these events as I go, and I do like writing about them. And I think that's if I'm stuck in an airport next week, I could do some writing about the full moon. So yeah, keep in touch and thanks for listening. And I'll be making another pod like this in a fortnight. You have been listening to Francesca Oddi for the Astrology Oddcast, where we talk about the astrology of the times, what's going on, how we might be experiencing it. We look at some horoscopes. I go on off a few tangents, but hopefully those tangents paint pictures and help you to understand the astrology. If you are wanting to connect, I will be making a free Facebook group for everybody to get involved with. That sounds like a good Mercury retrograde activity for me to get on with. Other than that, we have the Cosmic Club, which is a private members group, let's say, and it meets once a month. We have a resident psychic, we have free moon events, we have meditation, we have podcasts that are exclusive to the group, we have various things. I'm adding to it all the time. We've only been going since the full moon in Capricorn, so two full moons. But you can't join at the minute, the doors are closed, but you can sign up to the waiting list. I hopefully will be opening the doors briefly in September. Other than that, it'll be January, I think. We'll see how we go. But you never know. You never know how life's vibing. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening and speak to you soon.